If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 14 down through verse number 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 down through verse 20. Please follow along, if you will, as I read. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. By the way, we can stop right there and say, who are we living for? Are we living for ourselves? And I know I've been guilty of that many times. Or are we living for the Lord Jesus Christ? We should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the great example of the Apostle Paul, a man who was truly an unbelievable ambassador. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize that there is a clarion call to us, that we are to be ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, I think most of us here on Wednesday night probably have done this at some time or another in our life. But Lord, we know that with our theme this year, you would have us to continue to be an ambassador. I pray that you'll help us to do that, to have a burden and a passion to be about that which you gave your life to do, which was to seek and to save those who were lost. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's a good thing to continue good things. I think all of us like to continue the tradition of a good Thanksgiving, getting together with family and friends. That's a great thing to continue. It's a great thing to continue if you're maybe a Sunday school teacher. When I was growing up, my dad had these pins, and if you came for a year in a row, you'd get a little button. If it was 5 years, you'd get a bar. You get these different, and some people have these big, long things that they hadn't missed a Sunday in so many years. That's a good thing to continue in. There's no question about that. It's certainly a good thing when people continue in their jobs for a long time. We hear about people who work in one place for 40, 50, and 60 years, and that's awesome. I'm especially impacted by people who continue in their marriage for a long time. Recently, I was at a couples retreat. There was a couple there that had been married for 63 years. That was amazing. I said, what an example. I was thinking they've been married almost twice as long as my wife and I. We'll celebrate our 34th anniversary in May. I'm going, that's amazing. And we ought to continue in that. But can I say this? Well, all these things are very important, and we ought to continue in them. I think it's so important that we continue to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must say in my life that that is one of the easiest things to walk away from continuation in. I think that soul winning and prayer oftentimes are the work of the ministry. Quite honestly, I don't think I've ever awakened here in Lancaster in the last 19 years and said, boy, I wonder if I should go to church today. That's pretty easy. I kind of have a habit of reading my Bible every day. I have a habit of tithing. But prayer and soul winning, being an ambassador, those often are the work of the ministry. And God has called us and commanded us to do that. In fact, the Bible says here that we are ambassadors for Christ. And by the way, God does not make us something that he does not empower us to do. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to share with you some things about being an ambassador that I hope will be a help to you. The first thing we see about an ambassador is that an ambassador has access. He has access. I was reading a little bit about ambassadors, and I found out that they have something that is called a diplomatic pouch. You say, well, what is an ambassador? An ambassador, according to the encyclopedia, is an envoy who represents his own government or his own sovereign in another country. We sing the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." My friends, we are to represent Jesus in a land that is not his right now. We are his ambassadors, but we have access to him. What a wonderful thing. Ambassadors, as long as there is peace between nations, have a diplomatic pouch, and whatever they write and send back to their king cannot be looked at. The king can contact them. It's always available. There's a line of communication there. And by the way, we have a king who wants to be in communication with us. His name is King Jesus. He stands at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Did we talk to him today? Did we ask him for help today? Did we ask him to guide us as we are his ambassadors today? Quite honestly, Pastor will often ask me to do certain things. He's my boss. He'll tell me, he'll say, "I want you to call this person, do this or go there." I listen to him. You say, of course you do. Are we listening to God? When he says, "I want you to talk to that neighbor. I want you to talk to that friend, that co-laborer at work." We have access, but we must avail ourselves of access. I had the privilege about a year ago to go to Korea with Pastor, and we were in churches almost every single day, but one day we were able to go to the DMZ zone, look across to see North Korea, and see a few places. And one place we saw was the place where the king of Korea sat and met his subjects for over 400 years. It was kind of interesting. It was a tourist spot. People went in there. There was this gigantic courtyard. And we didn't actually go in the building where the king sat. You could look in there and see the throne. It was made out of wood. That's the building right there. And this courtyard was the size of a number of football fields. Quite impressive. And I was looking and I said, "Well, what are those little concrete pillars that go around?" And we were standing up there on the porch right by that door area there. And I asked someone in our group, they didn't know. They asked someone else. They said, "Well, those are the places where you would stand in front of the king." They said, for example, if you're family, you were able to come up all the way to the first pillar. Then there was a place for the officers of the military, then for the businessmen, then for the nobles, and the peasants were all the way in the back. But it's interesting. They still weren't going inside where the king lived. Can you remember the story of Esther in the Bible? And I thought immediately as I stood there, and I wrote down on a note card, "Get a picture. This illustrates Hebrews 4:16. Where the Bible says to us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Christ wants us to come all the way to the throne. He's available. All we have to do is come. Did we come to him today? Did we call to him today? We have access. What a wonderful thing. By the way, isn't it great to know that no matter where we are, we have access to the Father? Bunyan was in Bedford Prison, but he still had access. No matter where we are, no matter how dark the night, no matter how difficult the situation, we have access. I met a pastor yesterday, and he's a pastor in Connecticut or New Hampshire. I don't remember the state. And he knew about our ministry. He knew me. I didn't know him. I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about yourself." And I said, "Is there anything I can pray with you about?" And the man said to me, he goes, "Yes, my wife has ALS, Lou Gehrig's, 30 years old. All she can do is swallow and talk. She can't use her arms very fast. 3-year-old child." I prayed with him right then. I wrote him today and sent him a CD and a book that I thought might be a help to him. But I said, "You know what, sir? Isn't it great that she can always talk to God? Isn't that a great thing? I'm so glad that his ear is never hard where he cannot hear, that nothing can separate us from the Father." We have to understand as an ambassador that we always have access to God. We don't go alone. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." What a wonderful thing to be aware of. But we have to realize as an ambassador, but there's also a danger. You say, "What is the danger?" Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour." My friends, there is someone who doesn't want us to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do everything in his power to get us to do anything but to be an ambassador. I've often said to our students, don't forget that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Well, one of the callings of God is for us to be an ambassador. He wants us to represent him. But there is an enemy. It's interesting with ambassadors, as I studied this topic, and I found that some ambassadors who or away from their home country for so long that they forget who they are serving. And in fact, it's said that a number of ambassadors literally changed their identity to become a member of that country. Maybe it was a cheaper place to live. Maybe they could have maids for $2 a day, etc., etc., etc. They said, forget about it. This is what I'm going to do now. They forgot what they were sent to do. We have to realize as Christians that we were sent to do something. God has called us. God has a plan for us, but there is a danger. We're to love our neighbor. We're to go about doing good, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. We are to be an ambassador for him. You may be saying, well, Dr. Rasmussen, you don't know, I'm very, very busy. And I'm sure that's true. If you belong to Lancaster Baptist Church, you stay busy. We go from one event to another. But can I say this? We have time for that which is important to us. Is it important to us to be an ambassador? We have time for that which is important. We have to realize that the world will try to pull it to itself, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's not be like the ambassadors that forget what they came to do, who forgot who they were supposed to be serving, who forgot who they were to be in communication with. But thirdly, we see as an ambassador that we have a message to share. And this is great because sometimes people say, well, I'm not sure exactly what I should do. I often found it humorous that people would ask the question, and they would wear the necklaces, the keychains, and have the Bible covers. And they say, what would Jesus do? WWJD. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, to point people to the Father, to draw people to himself. We need to continue to share the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. My friends, let's not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed. I'm certainly thankful for my wife. I'm not ashamed of who I'm married to. I'm very proud of her. But friends, while that's a good thing, how much more so should we not be ashamed of the Son of God, who gave himself for us? We need to share the gospel. Years ago, one of my favorite people to read about was a lady, blind lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. You know many of her songs. She was up in years and very infirm, couldn't walk by herself. And by the way, even at that age, she was still going and speaking and singing in rescue missions. She was at the Macaulay Rescue Mission in New York City. She said, is there a young man here who doesn't have a mother? One young man shyly raised his hand. She said, is there someone raised his hand? She said, bring him up to me. She called him up and gave him a hug and kissed him on the cheek. And she said to him, Jesus loves you. By the way, it's still the greatest thing we could tell anyone. Amen. Jesus loves him. It touched her so much, she went home that night and she wrote a song. You know the words. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them from pity, from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Great words. We've all sung them many times. Years later, many years later, Ira Sankey, the great hymn writer and singer for D.L. Moody, got up to sing in a Moody crusade. And he told the story of that song and how Fanny Crosby had written that song. As he told the story, a young man jumped to his feet, a middle-aged man now, and said, it was me. It was me. He said, I accepted Jesus Christ because she told me that he loves me. I wonder, friend, did we tell anyone this week that Jesus loves them? What is our message? It's the gospel. The good news. That's what gospel means. Are we sharing good news? I like to share good news. Well, when things are going well, we like to share those things. Well, how much better to share the good news of the gospel? Amen. That would please and honor the Lord. We then see, fourthly, tonight we see the passion of the ambassador. In the world today, people have passion for different things. A lot of people have a passion for fame. A lot of people have passion for money. A lot of people have passion for power. I wonder, do we have a passion for doing what God would have us to do? I take you back again to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, we see, had a passion for the reaching the lost. I mean, he was serious about it. It mattered to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me." There was a passion there. He was serious about it. Beaten with 40 stripes, save one, three different times. Beaten, bit by a serpent. Boy, that'd be enough for me to run. Almost drowned, stoned and left for dead. He kept on going until he could say, "I have done all. I have finished my course." I wonder, will we be able to say, "I've done all. I've done my best." If you're like me, you're probably thinking of times we haven't done our best. And I've got good news for you tonight. Today is the first day of the rest of our Christian life. Today is the first day. What will we do tonight? What will we do tomorrow? How about as we get ready for the Easter outreach? What will we do? Say, "Well, I haven't done much of that in the past." Today is the first day of the rest of our life. I wonder, will we have that passion? Paul had a passion for reaching the lost. Paul knew that reaching the lost was not a probability, it was a command. Dr. Curtis Hudson said this. He said, "The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience." Will we obey? Will we go? Will we obey what is often called the Great Commission, which I'm afraid in many churches across this world is now the Great Omission? The choice is ours. We need to be enthusiastic about it. The word enthusiastic, in theos, means in God. Are we allowing God to work in us and through us? "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Will we follow his leadership in our life? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Will we do it heartily? Will we get excited about what God wants us to do? And we see that Paul challenged the church with this. He says, "Church, we've got a job to do. We've got work in front of us." And I love what he said in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." My friends, it's much nearer now than when Paul penned those words. It's nearer. I don't know how long we will have. Oftentimes, students will say, "Well, I'm going to wait for a year. I'm going to do this for a year." And I always think, well, what if the Lord comes back in that year when you could have been serving him, could have been doing something for him? Many times people said, "Well, when I retire, I'll do this." And boy, I thank the Lord that we're in a church where many of our retirees are serving the Lord even more than they did before. That's a wonderful thing. But friends, while we are not all called to be in full-time Christian service, we are all called to be full-time Christians. God wants you and God wants me to serve him, to be an ambassador for him. Paul says, "Now high time to awake out of sleep." We could spend quite a bit of time talking about people who were asleep in the Bible. Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the boat with a city dying and on its way to hell. I've often thought, he preached one of the shortest sermons in the Bible, and an entire city was turned to God for 100 years. Here's my thought. I wonder how many people died before he got there. God was going to empower the words, but he went the other way. He was asleep. Peter, James, and John were asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. I wonder, are we asleep when we should be ambassadors and praying for our pastor, for missionaries, for those who are serving God? It's high time to wake out of sleep. We see that Samson, he slept the sleep of the unaware. And when he woke up, it was too late. The power was gone. Paul said, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Brother Furso mentioned the Titanic last week and the lifeboats. I told him, pastor had asked both of us to speak on the subject of soul, and I said, I have a Titanic illustration too, but I did not bring one of my grandchildren's little life-saving rings with me. But did you know that they received 4 warnings about icebergs? But they didn't heed it. They didn't hear. I wonder if someone had been a little more strident in the warning. If they said, you better stop. You're going a very dangerous way. You better do something. Instead of just saying through Morse code, some ice has been spotted. And that night, 1,500 people lost their lives. We see, fifthly, tonight, we see the ambassador's mission. It's a great thing to have a mission. It's a great thing to know what we are here to do. Lancaster Baptist Church has a mission that it seeks to follow. It's a great mission. All of us ought to be involved in it. Pastor Chappell is told about having a mission statement for his family. Oftentimes, I'll try to plan sort of a mission statement for the year and for the summers. I divide things up. What do I want to get done? And try to line it up. We see a mission here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, the mission is to be an ambassador. It's very simple. It's very succinct. It says, we pray you in Christ's stead, verse 20, that ye be reconciled to God. The word reconciled means to make peace with God. Our sins separate us from God. The Bible says in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. I've often said this to students. I said, it doesn't say peacekeepers, it says peacemakers. It assumes there's going to be problems in life. My friends, people are going to have a great problem if they do not make their peace with God. They will spend eternity, in a Christless eternity, in real flames in utter darkness where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And we have a chance to be a peacemaker, to reconcile them with God. What a great opportunity. You may say, well, I've talked to people, and they've said no. I've talked to hundreds and maybe thousands of people that say no. The Apostle Paul did as well. He said, some say yes, some say we will hear thee again, and some say no. That's the way it's been down through the ages. But it's still up to us to sow the seed, to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe one of the great things for ambassadors is to realize that someday they will go to their real home. We see the ambassador's home in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 20. The Bible says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it wonderful that there are some things that we can have forever? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Our house will not last, it will burn up. Our cars won't last, they'll be gone. Our checking accounts won't matter. But God says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I've often told the story at stewardship banquets. How a number of years ago, I've now been at 19 banquets here at Lancaster Baptist Church. It hit me after about 3 or 4 years. Wow, these are going on forever. And we gave part of the equity of our home. We came. Brother Furstel said to me, he says, you know, you need to buy into this. Real encouragement from my friend there. And then we gave some stocks 1 year, and I had some silver bars. We gave those 1 year. And then 1 year, I mean, we just didn't have money in the checkbook. We didn't have any stocks. We didn't have, and I said, and the Lord said, well, you've got some stuff in that jewelry chest. Now, for men, a jewelry chest is where you just stash stuff. I had my high school ring in there. I had my dad's high school ring. I had a roll of silver dollars. I had my ID cards from all 4 years of college. Why? I don't know. I had patches off Levi pants that the waist size would fit around one leg right now. I had two pair of cufflinks. One had a half-ounce gold Kruger on each one. The gold today would be worth about $600, those cufflinks. I'm really into bling, you could probably tell that. I'd never worn them one time in Lancaster. I had another pair that were 14-karat gold that I'd gotten. Never worn them one time. And I took all that stuff out, and I put it on my dresser. And I thought about it. And I wear a ring right here for West Coast Baptist College. Pastor gave me this, Pastor, and a long time ago. 99. 17 years ago. And West Coast, I wear it. He gave one to myself, one to Dr. Getch. And I said, I'm going to wear the West Coast ring. I'm in. I'm not going to wear my high school ring anymore. And so I decided that day to put my high school ring in the offering. It had my name engraved. It was 14 karat gold. I wasn't sure how sharp the ushers were, so I even tagged it and told them. You know, I didn't want them to think it was 10 karat, you know. So I put a little thing there. I didn't put my name on it, but I said, hey, this is 14 karat, not 10. I dropped it in the offering plate. I felt pretty good about that. Until about 3 months later, we got robbed. They took the whole jewelry chest. And you know what I've thought many, many times? I wish I had given more. I looked at it all. I said, I'll keep this, but I'll give this. And I believe as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, someday we're going to look back and say, I wish I'd served him more. I wish I'd done more for him. I'm going to teach you a little bit about ambassadors. Don't worry, it won't be a long history lesson. Otherwise, only Brother Coates and I would enjoy it. But America's first important ambassador was Benjamin Franklin. You've all heard about him. He was quite a guy. He invented the rocking chair, bifocal lenses, the Franklin stove, started the first revolving library in the United States. He started the mail service in the United States, the first fire department. There was a paid fire department. And he gave the second half of his life to public service. Probably one of the very best things he did, besides wanting prayer in Congress, he said, if God sees a sparrow fall to the ground, he's watching us, why don't we pray before we start talking? Good idea. But he was ambassador to France during the Revolutionary War. And he was really good at it. And he had ultimately convinced France to come in on our side. We were massive underdogs to Great Britain. There's no way we should have won. Well, Washington was the indispensable man. Franklin got them on our side. And when we finally defeated the French in the Battle of Yorktown, they were trapped in a peninsula in Virginia. Washington was on one side, and the French fleet came in the other side. And they knew they had no chance. He was a great ambassador. He was actually replaced in France by Thomas Jefferson. And someone said, is it you who replaced Dr. Franklin? Jefferson said, no man can replace Dr. Franklin. I'm only a successor. Another famous ambassador, many of you will have heard of, because she was very famous as a child actress. Her name is Shirley Temple Black. Believe it or not, from 1935 to 1938, 4 years, she was the number one movie star in America. And this is ages 4 to 8 years of age. She was America's sweetheart. Everybody loved her. And she stopped making movies in her teens and went on for life. Her second marriage, she was married for over 50 years to Mr. Black. And near the end of her life, she did not die till just a few years ago, she was appointed as an ambassador. First of all, President Ford sent her to Ghana. I'm sure that was an exciting place to go for her. But later, George Herbert Walker Bush, appointed her to Czechoslovakia during the height of the Cold War, just as communism was collapsing in Europe, the time the Berlin Wall was coming down. Shirley Temple Black said this, "For much of my life, I tried to make people laugh." She said, "Now I'm trying to do something for my country." That was a good ambassador. I'll mention just one more very quickly. His name is George Kennan. George Kennan was an ambassador for very long, really only for about a year, and he was our ambassador to the Soviet Union right after World War II. He wrote a long telegram. That's what he's famous for. It went back to President Truman, and Truman had made him ambassador there in Moscow, and he said, they're not doing the right thing, and Truman didn't like the communists either, and Stalin so disliked what he said that he was declared persona non grata in the Soviet Union. Kind of hard to be an ambassador there when you can't stay there. But he knew who he was for. He knew that he was standing up for his country. But can I tell you about some ambassadors that were more important than that? Let me tell you briefly about a man by the name of Adoniram Judson. Judson was in seminary. And he was battling with what he should do with his life. He said there was one verse he could not get away from. And it was, go ye into all the world. He said, I can't get away from that. He goes, I want to stay, but I can't do it. He was offered a church in Boston. And he said, I've got to go. God commands me to go. Most of you know that he went to Burma. The privations and hardships that he suffered, if you want to read a great book, read the book To the Golden Shore, were unbelievable, remarkable. Having a child die on the voyage on the way over, burying the child at sea. Being in prison for almost 2 years. By the way, while he was in prison, translating the Bible into Burmese, writing it on leaves. And to keep them from finding it, his wife had made a hard pillow that she thought no one would want, but the jailer still took it away from it. It had all the scriptures inside, and Judson said to his wife, "You've got to help me get that pillow back." So she made a nicer pillow, and she said, "Well, I'm going to give this to my husband unless you want it, and he can have his old bag." The guy said, "I want the nice one." And they got the pillow back with all the scriptures inside. Amazing stories. He said, "I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here." When he died, there were 63 churches. 163 missionaries were serving under his direction, and at least 7,000 had been baptized in his ministry. I would say he was an ambassador for Christ. Let me mention another man. His name was William Carey, often called the father of modern missions. I love the story of Carey because he was not educated. He was a cobbler, a shoemaker. But Carey felt God calling his heart. He left from London in April of 1793, heading for Calcutta. His son Peter died. It resulted in his wife having a nervous breakdown. Insane asylums at that time were incredibly horrible places, and he didn't want to send her off to one. He kept her in his own home, and she was literally out of control. Literally had to lock her in a bedroom. He cared for her. And while he did that, he translated the Bible into 40 different languages and dialects. He gave his life as an ambassador to the Indian people. Schools for girls. He believed what he called a holistic ministry. And by that, he meant he wanted preaching, teaching, and healing, or helping people. His life made a great difference. And finally, let me mention one more ambassador. His name was David Livingstone. Livingstone was known as an explorer. And one of the most famous words of all time were when Stanley found him, the newspaper reporter, he said, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." And Livingstone may not have had a huge amount of converts. He said his goal was to map Africa, to give a path for missionaries to get from one end of the dark continent to another. But one man he did lead to Christ was a man by the name of Sechele, S-C-H-E-L-E, who was the chief of the Kwena people of Botswana. It was said that after he left this tribe that this one convert converted nearly his entire people. Neil Parsons of the University of Botswana said, "This one man did more to propagate Christianity in the 19th century than any other single person." It may just be one person you impact, and that person will go on to impact hundreds and maybe thousands of others. But you know what these three men all have in common? They're all gone. I've seen Livingstone's grave. It's in Westminster Abbey. When he died, they gave a 21-gun salute. You could walk inside the cathedral and see where he's buried there inside the cathedral. Well, most of him is. Because while porters carried him 1,000 miles to the coast, when they got there, they took his heart out of his body. They said, "You could have his body, but his heart belongs to us." And his heart was buried there in Africa. I close tonight by saying these three men all have something in common. They were great ambassadors for Christ. They were great servants of God. But they are all gone. I wonder who here will say, "I will be an ambassador for Christ. I will make a difference. God's speaking to my heart. It's the season. It's time." By the way, it's always time. Will we be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we make a difference? Will we be salt and light in a world that so badly needs salt and light? The choice is ours. The Apostle Paul stated it so clearly, so succinctly. And he said this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." The choice is ours. Will we accept the challenge? Will we take the mantle of ambassador on us and make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ in a dark in a dying world.